most importantly, we always have to be able to tell the court, why can we trust this piece of evidence? What has changed and what has not changed during the process of collection? And what kind of results it has? So the integrity of data, where did this data come from? How can we show that it's complete? And this all is ensured with a very detailed audit trail or videotaping our actions. This could show or could convince the court later on that we have not destroyed anything deliberately or by lack of knowledge, right? So now we come to the online grooming crime, which is a very, very difficult crime to investigate. Grooming is the process by which an adult establishes or builds a relationship with a child. And it could be in person, but it's much easier to build it in the internet. And internet has really enhanced this kind of crime committing. Because the technologies, they really facilitate online sexual contact with a child. Offenders have multiple different kinds of techniques to manipulate children, and they have the possibility to try different kind of ways to get in contact with the child. And this makes it much easier for them to commit the crime in the internet rather in real life. I have also, for those who are more interested in this online grooming tactics, I have put the most common tactics on the slide also. But normally, indeed, they falsely identify themselves. They sometimes say that they are peers, they are of the same age. They use flattery, compliments, but sometimes they all also use threats and intimidation. They promise gifts, money, alcohol at times, and so on. They have different kinds of tactics, but the main reason is to build some kind of trust with the child and to create the possibility that the child will send pictures, naked pictures or videos of her or himself while conducting sexual actions. Also live streaming is one of them, is one of the ways. So the question is how to collect evidence in online grooming cases when everything happens between two persons in the internet and usually neither of them is willing to report it. Very often the child does not feel that he or she is any kind of victim. They feel that they have gained a friend or even a boy or girlfriend in the internet. They think that they have some kind of trusting relationship, for example. So, as said, very often they do not identify themselves as victims. And sometimes the embarrassment is so big that they do not even seek for help, even if this relationship has ended. They just keep it in themselves. And this kind of contact with a perpetrator could come up anywhere. It's via emails, in chat rooms. But normally today, it's in social networking sites. We in Estonia have discovered, and I really suggest you also, if your domestic legislation allows it, that one of the most successful techniques to catch this kind of criminals is collecting information by using a false identity. And in that, I mean that police officers are pretending to be children over the internet. So now I will tell you a little bit how we have done that in Estonia, and perhaps you will also have ideas how to conduct these kinds of investigations in your domestic legislations, if it's possible under your law, because some of the legislations, they do not allow this kind of police agent work or undercover work. First of all, there are ethical questions to be considered, because if you are pretending to be a child, you need to have photographs of yourselves. You even need to have videos, because very often those perpetrators, they would like to have video chat, they would like to see the child. It's quite difficult to get someone to talk on sexual subjects and then to meet with you without even seeing you online, right? So you have to overcome with the obstacle of how to avoid video calls. We have managed over almost 10 years to do that, because in the end, if a perpetrator has someone already hooked and is communicating freely on sexual subjects, then the eagerness of meeting someone, it's much bigger than the reasonable thinking that, oh, I haven't seen her or him online yet. So what we had to do is we would have to create multiple pictures of someone, of a child. Due to ethical reasons, we did not and do not so far use pictures of real children, even those that can be found over the internet. We never do that. We try to make a picture so that we use like 50 pictures and make it as a whole, as one. But some say that it still has its risks, because if the perpetrator is really knowledgeable, they can see that this picture isn't real. And at some point, pedophiles, they might get suspicious. So what we did, we asked the police students from academy, those who are, you know, barely 18, 19 years old, and who look really, really young, that perhaps they are willing to give us photos where they have, where they are younger, but where the background of the picture doesn't give out the time frame. So the aim was to get an adult to give his or her pictures that have not been presented over the internet anywhere, and that would have a background that wouldn't give out the time frame. And we have managed to get those pictures. They are quite good. We have lots of them, and we have managed to use that. Of course, they would have to be appealing for the pedophile, not naked pictures, but still a little bit, so to say, they can't be of school children sitting behind the desk. They have to be in some kind of action, maybe dancing, maybe having fun at the beach or something like that. Then the next thing you would have to think about is, where is your account? It can't be an account that is created yesterday. It has to be something that has been created some time ago. So you always need to have different accounts already created so that you can use it in your investigations. you have to think about it where your account is, so that you wouldn't have the jurisdictional problems, so that you would get the information or get an administrator of that chat room to cooperate with you when you need the conversations in your criminal case, right? So you have to think about that, where to have the account and where to have the conversations, because the aim for you, for the investigator, would be to present this conversation as a whole, as evidence. So it's important to have an environment where you actually can save this information. Another thing, you have to think how you speak, because when you are a 50-year-old hairy law enforcement officer, then you might not know how children talk. I've had a case in court where we were examining the conversation, because the suspect says that he was provoked, and we had to read every line of the conversation. And the judge actually said that, "I can see that it's in Estonian, our native language, but I don't understand almost any words that the child is talking about." So this is really, and this was a real child with whom the suspect was talking to. And it is so, everyone who has teenage children, they know that when they listen to their children or look at the chat that they have with their friends, it's very, very difficult to understand them. And this is the problem in court also. So the police officer should actually know this secret language that young people are communicating with, to be authentic, to be believable for the pedophile also. And this is something that the police officer has to think through. Another thing to think through is that you can't have these conversations while pretending to be a child. You can't have them during your work time, because children are at school then. You have to do it in the evenings, in the afternoons, and you have to, if a pedophile is interested in you, you have to be able to communicate, to chat with him. And this takes a lot of resources. And your wife might not understand why you have to be online at home and talk with a pedophile about something really disgusting. So this really takes a lot from the law enforcement officers also. But what is a brilliant thing that you might be aware was the Netherlands, they had this this operation, or they used this sweetie girl once, and they tried to catch pedophiles over the internet with this computer generated image. They had a girl who was actually responding to different kinds of conversations. And if you look at the picture on the slide of the sweetie girl, you can't make a difference whether it's a real girl or actually this is a computer generated girl. So if your legal system would allow this kind of image to be presented as a child in the internet, then this would be a brilliant thing to have a computer generated child who would be operated by the law enforcement agent when this child has to smile, when this child has to nod, and so on and so on. This would be operated by the police officer. So this is something that the universities and students could really help the law enforcement with creating this kind of computer generated figures. But with this case also, now with the sweetie case, it turned out that, of course, law enforcement responded that we do not like civilians to conduct in online grooming investigations, of course. No one would like to encourage it, because this is a matter of law enforcement and it should be. But the fact that civilians were doing that, it shows that it's a grave problem. So all law enforcement should think about how to collect and how to investigate these kinds of crimes, because there are loads of them. So you can find easily information about the Sweetie case in the internet. They really do explain how they created this child and how many pedophiles they caught with that, and which countries received this notice that they have pedophiles among them. But yeah, in Estonia we haven't had possibility to create this kind of girl that would suit to an Estonian environment. However, our law would allow it. We wouldn't have any problems with that. It's behind technical possibilities for Estonia, at least.